Hi, firstly, a big welcome to Partner and Parents. If this isn't where you're expecting to be, then now's the time to quickly move to your seminars elsewhere in the building. Just to introduce myself, my name is Tamar Pollard and this is Dave Fielder. We've both been on the staff at Highfields Church in Cardiff for the past 6 years as a children and as a youth worker there. Hopefully, just now as you've been sort of settling and you've got a handout, if you haven't, then just kind of look around for Tim Thornborough, who I think's floating around, handing them out. If not, grab one from us at the end. But we're going to be using this through the session, so it'd be great if you could keep that to hand. Well, bringing up kids is no easy task, is it? And bringing them up to know and to fear the Lord isn't either. So there's this mum and she's preparing pancakes for her sons, Dan and Ben. And the boys begin to argue over who's going to have the first pancake as it comes out of a frying pan. The mum's like, brilliant, a chance to apply what we've been reading in the Bible just before breakfast. So she gets and she turns to them and she says, boys, if Jesus was sitting here right now, he'd say, oh, let my brother have a first pancake. I can wait. As quick as a flash, Dan turns to his younger brother and goes, hey, Ben, you be Jesus. Or there's a father walking on the beach with his children and his four-year-old suddenly runs up to him, grabs his hand and drags him over to the shore where this dead seagull's lying. And she's like, Daddy, what's happened? And Dad thinks for a minute, and he's all, well, the seagull, he's died, and he's gone up to heaven. Little girl thinks, looks a bit confused, and says, so did God throw him back down? Like I said, bringing up children to know and fear the Lord isn't easy. And yet that's a mandate given to the Christian parents we work with. And so in this short session, we're just going to be thinking how we can partner with parents and how we can hopefully run more family-equipping ministries. Just as a disclaimer, I want to say that we're far from getting this right in Cardiff. Some of the things we're still trying to get going that we're going to mention to you. Some things we haven't even tried yet, one or two things. But hopefully it'll be a workshop full of ministry principles and practical ideas that you can take away to think about working alongside parents rather than us just sort of giving you answers and how to deal with those you're actively in conflict with. And a lot of the ideas are actually developed more in this book here. It's mentioned on your handout. It's called Partnering with Parents in Youth Ministries. But to help us take some of the principles and just make it a bit more practical, I want to introduce you now to five very different parents. First of all, we've got Sam's dad, who, quite frankly, is a bit of a hero. He is, you know, the type of parent you just love working alongside. He serves on your youth team twice a week. He's very much part of the church, and he's a spiritual leader of his home. He sees you as a partner with him in helping his children grow in love and understanding of the gospel. But then there's Sophie's mum, who again is always positive in her feedback to you, grateful for the work you're doing, keen to come along to family events, and has even offered to help with the catering at the next one. And yet she's not a Christian and doesn't even come on a Sunday. Whereas Luke's dad, what to say about him? He is the total opposite, okay? He's an established member of a congregation, but I reckon Luke's dad is the original Mr. Grumpy, first inspired Roger Hargreaves to write that book. In fact, with Luke's dad, you're never quite sure if it's a personal thing against you or if that's just the way he is. Because any attempt you've made to speak to him, he's complained about the work. And when you try and get alongside him or invite him to events or even just befriend him, he doesn't want to know. We've then got Lizzie's Christian mum, who just drops at the door of church and has never once asked you what you teach in Bible time. Neither her or Luke's dad see what you do as a partnership with what goes on in the home. And finally, there's Jack's mum, who sends her children along just as much as she can. And she's a massive encourager about the work you're doing. But while she's a Christian, her husband isn't. and she very much feels that tension at home. Not wanting to appear like she's brainwashing the children, she's reluctant to read the Bible with her kids or get too stuck into church activities. These are just five representative, typical parents. We've changed the names to protect the innocent or the guilty. But I'm sure all of you could put faces to some of those parents in your own work. So how can you help those different parents? How can you partner with them? Well, hopefully this session is going to work through some of that. So to help us do that, I want us to quickly look at Tim Hawkins' Parentland map, which helps us see where these parents and the ones you work with fit in. So first, for the church parents and the unchurched. But we need to divide them up some more, and that's not enough. So on one side, there's the Christian parents, and on the other, the non-Christian parents. Now, it is possible to work with Christian parents who don't come to your church, maybe they go elsewhere, or with non-Christian parents who do rock up every Sunday. We're going to add one more category now. The top half is the supportive families, and on the bottom half, we've got the unsupportive parents. So if we go back to our example parents, we have Sam's dad, who I think personally is the easiest type to work with. A Christian father, in the church, and totally supportive. We've then got Sophie's mum, who's not in church, nor a Christian, but still in that supportive top half. Then there's Luke's dad, who's in church, but to be honest, it's hard to know if he actually is a Christian or not, and he's definitely unsupportive. You've got Lizzie's mum, who's a Christian, but seems apathetic about your input into her child. And finally, Jack's mum, who would probably fall into the same section as Sam's dad, but her husband, Jack's father, would be in the non-Christian, unchurched, and unsupportive category. I think, as I say, it's fair to say that anyone in the white box is generally the easiest parent to work with, whereas the purple could be the toughest. So as we run through our workshop, it'd be great if you could keep these families, these faces in mind, the categories there, and every now and then what we're going to do is just stop and think, okay, Tame Up Dave, just stop. You've given us loads of theories, loads of ideas. How can we apply that?
After his baby brother's christening in church, Jason sobbed in the car uncontrollably all the way home. His dad asked him three times what the problem was, and eventually Jason opened up and he said, "That preacher said that he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." For many families, there's an inconsistency between what goes on in church and what goes on in the home. And when that happens, the children notice. And what we're going to try and do in this session is see how we help to close that gap. On your handout, we have given you a whole load of Bible verses. We're going to look at those together now that talk about the spiritual education of children. There are verses in Deuteronomy, in Proverbs, Psalms, and Ephesians that talk about children and sons and the next generation. So what does God say he wants these children to do? From the Proverbs verse, they are to listen. How many of you feel like we're off to a bad start already? From the Psalms verse in 6 and 7, they are to know God's law, to put their trust in God, not to forget his deeds, and to keep his commands. And it's useful here to refer to the verse at the bottom of your sheet there, Luke chapter 2, a brief comment, one of the few comments that we have that refers to Jesus' childhood, which says that he was obedient to his parents. The perfect Lord of the universe, obedient to sinful parents. Listen, keep God's commands, be obedient to your parents. I don't think you get many parents complaining if their children turned out like that. So what are the children to know in order to be able to live like that? Other, of course, than knowing Jesus for themselves. These verses say they should know the commandments, verse 6 of Deuteronomy, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he's done, from verse 4 in the psalm, and his law in verse 5. Now, assuming that your parents are happy to send along their children to your groups, even the non-church parents won't object to them knowing God's commands. So how will they know God's commands? How will they know these things? Again, let's just step through the verses. Deuteronomy verse 7 and 8 says, they are to be impressed upon them and talked about with them, surrounded by them so they know them inside out. Proverbs and Psalms instruct us to teach and to instruct and to tell children. And Ephesians is even more pushy. Train young people. Don't just give them passive head knowledge. Get them to actively put it into practice. Once more, nods all round from parents except probably those in the purple corner. But you might find your hearty agreement with them on all things theological dries up when you start to talk about whose job all that is. Because many parents might say to you, well, that's your job. That's why you're the Sunday school teacher and I'm not. Or you're the youth worker. That's what we pay you for. But again, let's have a look at the verses. When God hands out the responsibility, he says in Deuteronomy, they're your children. In Proverbs, the instruction is listen to your father and your mother. Psalm says, tell the next generation so that they in turn can tell their children. And Ephesians says, fathers, bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And just in case the point hasn't been made, let's return to the Deuteronomy verse. Where is all this to happen? When you sit at home, verse 7. Part of the daily business of life at home. When you're eating a meal, watching the TV, sat in the car. Not just on a weekend away or in the damp church vestry during the service. Now, I love our young people, but it's not me who tucks them in at bed at night, and it's not me that gets them up in the morning. But the verse says to us, it's to be done, discipleship is to be done when children lie down and when they get up. And you might find that many of your parents get a bit mumbly and fidgety at that point, which is probably why you're here. But God in Scripture sets out a principle that many, many churches have lost sight of, that the primary responsibility for raising children in godliness belongs to the parents. So, does that mean we should all just quit what we're doing and get our Friday nights back? I'm afraid not, before you all get too tempted and carried away with the idea. We need to remember that God does call and equip and gift individuals to be pastors and to be teachers, to teach and to preach corporately, not just in the home. And Jesus himself, as a child, spent 3 days in the temple away from his parents, talking to the rabbis. It was like the first ever youth weekend away, but with just stack loads of leaders and one youth. So, of course, churches should and must employ, maybe not must employ, but should and ought to employ and to run Sunday schools and youth work. But the responsibility for discipling children and young people lies with parents, and the church supports them in that. Partly because those of us who are youth workers know all too well, and those of us who are parents know even better, because adolescents resist discipleship from their parents. So in many churches, in a response to this, the responsibility has been reversed. Parents offload their children in the Sunday school, or they pay for a youth worker, desperately hoping that he can somehow fix their wayward offspring because he knows how to use an iPod. And the church becomes the discipler, and the parents support by providing transport and the cash flow. But say your church program for a 13-year-old involves a youth club and a Sunday meeting, the odd special event throughout the year, and a weekend away. hours there are waking hours, those obviously dependent on how unruly and disruptive they are. The total amount of time you spend with a young person who comes to everything that you run in a year comes to about 10 days. Even if you add in a week on camp, that is the proportion of time in a year that you will spend with your group, the little yellow bar, that your young person will get spiritual input from church. So that is why parent partnership is so important, because a parent will see that child for pretty much every other single day of the year, the blue bar on the screen. That, for me, graphically illustrates the fact that we cannot afford to see ourselves as the people in charge of the spiritual life of our young people. We simply support parents in that role. Now, that doesn't feel easy. And if it helps at all, I have to say we are still way off getting it right. But if that's the biblical responsibility, how do we put that into practice? And I think we need to start with how we see ourselves. Our role is to support the parents and not to compete with them. Young people will resist discipleship from their parents, but they may choose to get it from you. And it might look like competition from a parent's point of view. Most teenagers don't want to spend time with their parents, but they may want to spend time with you. And that is hard if you're a mum or a dad. We adored our youth worker. We literally would drop everything for him. And my mum used to comment on it sometimes. She used to say, "Guys, why do you do stuff for Nigel that you won't do for me?" So we need to communicate to our parents that we are not in the business of taking their children away from them. And we need to communicate to our young people the importance of life at home. And I think one way of doing this that I'm learning still to do, but I think is a really powerful tool, is just the business of encouraging your parents in the business of being parents. They get precious little encouragement from their own children, so they are always ready to hear it. "Jake was great today. He really, really understood the passage, and he asked some insightful questions at the end. Do you know what? I am loving working with Loretta at the moment. She really cares about other people, and it's rubbing off on the rest of the group." Your mums and dads probably never get to see that side of them, so they love to hear it from you. And another way is just popping around to visit. Those of us who are full-timers or in big churches, we may have lost the whole culture of home visiting, which is so much a part of church pastoral life. But to pop around and see them at home communicates that you are interested in life in their home, not just in getting them to things in your church. And then the next step, the big step, is partnering with parents, working alongside them by helping them to disciple their children. And that is the tough part, and that is the part that, as I say, we are still way off getting right. I think one of the reasons why it's so hard is because you could be working with parents who aren't actually living biblically shaped lives themselves. And you are teaching principles to the young people that their parents are not modeling at home. And that is really difficult. And I think our role as youth workers and as kids workers to remember that actually we're not there to disciple everybody. The discipleship of the parents has to be left down to the Sunday ministry and the church leadership team. But that's where dovetailing what you do and what the church leadership do is really important. Because if you as the kids worker come in and look like you're trying to disciple the parents will probably resist that. If you're coming in and telling them how to live as parents, not just trying to teach their children. Okay. Quite a bit of information there. What we're going to do, we're going to do this a couple of times through the session. We're going to go back to our example parents in the little map of parent land. And I just want you to talk in your twos and threes, those of you who come together, about saying, okay, As those example parents, how would they be affected by what we've just talked about? This principle of discipleship alongside parents, not separating out what goes on in church from what goes on at home. I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes on that, and then we'll do a little sum up on it. Go for it. Okay, I'll wrap you up there, just to keep things moving. I think in principle, the parents in the white corner are on board already. So the people that this will affect most will be the guys who are offside, the guys on the bottom of the line. Lizzie's mum probably needs to hear that you're not just there to babysit her children, and that you want to talk to her and you want to interact with her about the life of her daughter and the spiritual condition of her daughter. Perhaps Luke's dad, Mr. Grumpy, is negative because actually he feels threatened by what you're doing. You do all this great stuff that Luke comes home and he raves about, la-di-da-di-da, this stuff's amazing in church. And actually he feels like you're pulling the rug from under his feet as a role as dad. And he needs to hear that you want to work with him as a partner, you want to support him as a dad in bringing up Luke in the best way possible. Sharing positive stories with Luke might help his dad to come on side. Similarly with Jack's mum, who might fear that church activities are just tearing her family apart, a Christian mum and a non-Christian dad, dividing her family. It's important to communicate to her that you want to support her as a parent. Okay, we'll come back to those guys in a minute. We're going to step you through just 3 key principles: the idea of informing, the idea of equipping, and the idea of,
what's the other one?
I should know this, shouldn't I really? Not involving, informing, involving, and equipping. Okay, I said we're not nailing it down, all right? Okay, so for the remainder of the session, let's look at some practical stuff. The easiest place to start, really, is with informing your parents better. If you want to communicate to your parents that you're in the business of partnering with them, if you want to actively demonstrate that, then we would say running something that we call a parents' forum is a really good place to start. It's basically a big meeting where all your parents and all your teams meet together. It's the place to share a vision. It's the place to share the information to as many people as possible about what you see the work of your ministry doing. You get to tell parents about the plans and directions of the work. They get to feed back on what is already happening, which helps to build partnership. They feel like they're involved in what you're doing. It's also a great environment for helping parents to connect with each other. Oh, yours are doing that as well. And what are you doing about the Facebook issue? We run ours just twice a year, and we've put an outline program on the other side of your handout, so you can look at that in detail. But in principle, it might be tea with everybody together, parents, youth workers, children, and then provide childcare for the children so then you can meet with the parents. Introduce the team, give a brief talk on the first occasion. That might be a vision setting, but we might come to something else later, and we'll unpack that in a few moments. And then allow some time for the parents to meet in age-specific groups with the team. That's the age of the children, not the age of the parents. So you meet your children's workers, meet with the parents of your children, your youth workers meet with the parents of your youth. Allow some time for feedback after they've discussed some stuff together and to pray, and then provide a good bookstore for the parents to have a look at later on. Now, if you're from a big church and not even everybody even knows each other, forums help parents and team members just to meet each other in the first place, which again builds partnership. We produce a little sheet with a brief description and a photo of each of the team members for parents to take home, which you can then also post out to those who didn't come. Now, on that point, be aware of the fact that even Tim Hawkins says only a quarter of his parents come to his forum. So don't be discouraged if that's what happens to you. But for everyone who does come to ours, they always say how incredibly helpful they are. The next stage about information is just the business of booking dates in. If you're a parent, you know that diaries are absolutely hectic, trying to juggle the lives of all the different family commitments. So before the academic year even starts, we send out what we used to call a family planning calendar. And then we realise that might be misunderstood. But we send out a yearly calendar with all the dates for all the events throughout the year in the kids' work and the youth work, particularly focusing on the things that they might have to budget for and the things that you don't want to book holidays over. So, for example, weekends away and holiday Bible clubs. The organised families find that incredibly helpful. The disorganised families who lose things and book in late for everything lose this as well. So you have to then just follow that up with regular information and reminders about specific individual events, okay? And just one tip on that business of sending out information is parents just do not have time to read everything they get through the door. Keep your information as short and brief and concise as you possibly can. Bullet points are your friend. So they can scan down them as quickly as they possibly can and get to know what they need to know. You know that the stressy parents who want to know more will get in touch with you anyway. Those are just some tips about information.
I'm so massively grateful that my parents were my primary disciples and really just demonstrated to me time and again what it means to live for Jesus and look like Jesus in so many different ways. And one way that undoubtedly shaped me growing up was the way they annually took us to communist Eastern Europe, delivering humanitarian aid and Bibles, despite the dangers we were put under as a family. So summer by summer, I wasn't just exposed to different cultures, but I actually saw firsthand what faith, persecution, and sacrifice looked like. I didn't just get a chance to watch my parents serving, but I had the opportunity to serve with them. And I really think if we want to help our parents be primary disciples, we need to carefully consider our current programs and think, are we actively encouraging our parents' involvement and chances for them to serve together with their children, with their teenagers? Not by adding in more events, which interrupt family life, and quite frankly, you don't have time for, neither do they. But actually, by valuing them as true partners and adapting what we're already doing. So this may mean you asking them to work with you practically. While Sam's dad is this bit of a hero and serves with you, pretty awesome chap, not many a dad is going to want to be an upfront leader. But loads of them would be willing to drive your minibus on the weekend away, build a bonfire, or cook at your barbecue. Other parents were probably happy to bake for an event, run a craft session based on their hobby, or maybe just take some of the admin off you. Each of your parents has gifts to offer and talents to share, don't they? And I think it's really good for us as teams to just stop and think, how can we tap into them? How can we help our young people observe their parents serving, as well as furthering relationships in the process? But I didn't just benefit from watching mum and dad serving, but from serving alongside them. So how about including in your programme times when families can actually serve together? So it may be in October you have this family social time where they pack shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child together. Or you have a family carol singing to a nursing home. Or arrange for families to deliver Easter eggs around the children's hospital. And these times are fantastic as service opportunities to build memories and create family traditions that will last with the young people, as well as helping parents model what they're trying to teach at home. Another way of involving parents is just by keeping doing what you're already doing. Keep running those family events, such as fun nights and bonfires. They're great ways, aren't they, of just bringing parents and children together for fun and providing evangelistic opportunities. They can range hugely, can't they, from meals to messy nights, sports events, and so on. I'm sure if all of us could now just come up with this list of like 101 creative ideas for family bonding time and incorporating them into our ministries. So keep on including them. But what we're saying is just look at the programme and the elements that could be adapted to help parents be partners even more. One thing I know that we haven't done and we've talked about in preparation for this is putting together a parents advisory group, which I guess is a bit like a PTA in a school, something like that. There's always going to be parents, aren't there, who aren't particularly great at being hands-on with kids, who maybe are uncomfortable in the practical elements, and yet they have so much wisdom and support and counsel to offer. And maybe you could just ask them, select group every now and then, to just meet with you and help shape your programme, what your ministry looks like. Maybe they could take on delegated areas, like organising sponsorship for a weekend away. Or some of the ideas that we've just gone and think, well, actually, I'd really benefit from a parent's touch on that. Could you involve them in that way? Maybe they could coordinate a hospitality system where families at different stages are buddied up to help befriend and support one another in biblical parenting. So one of my families, after a recent forum, came to me and said, well, can I help you more with that? Pair up core families with fringe families. Fantastic. Let's help them partner and show what biblical parenting looks like. Maybe you could ask them to put together a monthly family prayer calendar, which has birthdays and key events on, but also prayer requests from families, encouraging them in their families to pray together, not just for each other, but for other families. Well, we've just given you loads of ideas on information and involvement. So again, what we want you to do is go back into your twos and threes and just spend a couple of minutes thinking, okay, those of them back to the model families, how would some of these elements help different ones in different contexts? Okay, I'm going to call time on that. Sorry. Brilliant. There's obviously loads in there, but just to pick out one or two. For Sam's dad, probably better earlier information will help him juggle all his church and family commitments. Parent forums would probably be really helpful for Lizzie's mum to see the point of what you're doing, and shared service opportunities will enable her to model to Lizzie that there isn't a separation between God and home life. Sophie's mum will probably really embrace family outreach events, which she can serve in some way behind the scenes. But actually, by getting her to do that, you're helping her meet Christians. Luke's dad may just want earlier information because he's grumpy because he keeps having to change his plans, his diary, because he has everything at the last minute. I've heard Tim Hawkins say that a complaint is an opportunity for a relationship you don't yet have. A complaint is an opportunity for a relationship you don't yet have. And so it's really good in those situations. I'm so quick to fly off a handle and make a judgment on someone, but actually to think, where is that complaint coming from? And involve that complainer in solving the problems. So, and this is a gamble, he may actually have some good ideas about how things can be done better. So you could invite him, Luke's dad, to join the parents' advisory group to share some of them. Now, he may just be a grumpy man who sees his kids as a noisy distraction. And if that's the case, well, that's a personal discipleship issue. And you might want to chat to your church leadership. But Jack's mum, I reckon she would find the prayer diary a lifeline. In fact, knowing people in church, I know that to be true, because it helps them see that they're not alone in praying for their children. And she'd also probably be glad of early information, as she can sit down and think, what things do I need to raise with my non-Christian husband? So different ways information and involving can help. But if we're really going to partner with parents and help them be the primary disciples, then it is not enough just to involve and inform them. Rather, we need to be looking how we can equip them as they seek to develop their children spiritually. And if I'm honest, this is the area that freaks me out most as a single girl. Okay, what on earth do I know about equipping parents in that? However, I think it's really helpful for me and hopefully for you to remember, equipping is just about assisting. And I want to suggest three ways, briefly, you can assist your parents in the business of being primary disciples. One, we've already touched on, is Parents Forum. Parents Forums don't have to just be about vision and information sharing. We found our parents really appreciate a brief talk on a particular focus. For example, what Bible reading looks like at home, or engaging our children with culture. They just are so hungry for top tips on things like play a game when you're watching TV and identify the message they've seen and work out how it makes them think or feel. So Parents Forum, use it as a way of assisting parents. Also, think maybe, how can I assist them in discipleship informally by emailing out useful articles or blog links every now and then? A few of you might want to get with the advisory group and think, okay, we're going to put together a guide with resources for family devotions and family life in. I found that many parents do appreciate knowing what's being taught in their children's group. But to help in tightening our partnership and encouraging parents to disciple their children, what we've done is look at our devotional material we're making available and just think, can we suggest resources that tie in with what's going on in our teaching curriculum? So that reading the Bible isn't just a Sunday activity when they attend, but it's consolidated at home. Another thing that we've tried to implement is using our children's slots to have a take-it-home question at the end of each, where you just basically give a question to chat about over the lunch table. So over the lunch table today, chat about one way you make God, other people bigger than God, and how you can try and deal with that biblically. And what I found, actually, it's not just families who take those questions home, but all the guys in the 20s and older as well, trying to apply that. So just helpful ways. They're just simple yet effective ways in parents helping them disciple, as well as running then the more formal sessions on parenting, which you could get in the being there, done that parents to run, or maybe just buy into some material like Trip Shepherded a Child's Heart. And I think it's worth saying as well, it's really worth chatting to your church leadership about all this, and just finding out if it can be more formally integrated into things like marriage and membership courses, and just if they can help you, like we said earlier, disciple the parents to understand that they're partners, and not just partners, but the primary ones in bringing their kids up in knowledge of the Lord. Third and final suggestion I want to make for equipping is that of running parent seminars that tackle big issues that really probably scare both Christian and non-Christian families, such as drug-proofing your child, sex and relationships, understanding youth culture, how to communicate with your children, or building a healthy self-image. And these seminars are brilliant because they equip both your parents and your teams to just communicate with young people and help them make decisions through the eyes of the Bible rather than being shaped and moulded by the world. And the even better news on that is not just equipping your team, equipping yourself, equipping your parents, but actually you don't have to be the main speaker at these. Rather, just a facilitator in booking an expert and organising a session, which I love. I can get someone else to do that. And one event we did recently that went down really well was just a seminar on sex and relationships with LoveWise, a Christian organisation. So that's just one seminar you could run. So what we're just going to do now is have a couple more minutes looking at our parents and think, okay, these are three ways of equipping. How can we help both different parents with parents' forums, assisting in discipling and seminars? And twos and threes again, sorry.
Okay, I'll just wrap you up on that. So quick summary of them, maybe from our point of view, if these were our parents. How might equipping help our example parents? We need to remember that non-Christian parents love their kids and want the best for them too. So inviting Sophie's mum and Jack's dad to your topical seminars is actually a really good step out of your boundaries to say we want to partner with you in bringing up your children. And most parents are happy with any help they can get when it comes to tricky subjects like the ones on our previous slide. Perhaps Lizzie's mum doesn't interact because actually she doesn't want to admit that she's struggling spiritually and she feels like a failure as a mum. And family devotions and take-it-home questions could be really helpful for her in taking a spiritual dimension at home and also maybe even reigniting her spiritually. And practical parents' forums give her the helpful tools that she needs. And maybe from the previous section, you could buddy her up with a been-there, done-that parent who knows exactly what it's like to feel like that. So that's just a very brief summary. We've literally just kind of scattergunned you with information about some things that you might be able to do or to incorporate to help you with parents. But it's worth, as we just wrap up, to bear three things in mind. Firstly, don't try everything at once. All the books you read will say this takes years. So be realistic about the process of changing a culture, not just changing a system. And it won't happen overnight. And then, of course, just remind ourselves of what Tim said to us at the start of the day, that actually it's God's work in God's time, that it's all under grace. And even if we don't get all of this right, and we won't get all of this right, God can and he still will work. That human effort just brings human results. But God's Spirit is what transforms people. But let's pray that we are able to be used by God's Spirit in that process and that we can see families and young people's lives transformed by part of what we're involved in. I think we've literally got 1 minute for one question. If any of you want to come and ask us questions later, you can. Our emails are on the handout. Anything? No, brilliant. Answered all your questions. You go home and get it right perfectly. Yeah, somebody always does it, don't they, when you say you're going to wrap up. Yes. Yeah, the question is, you haven't mentioned unchurched, non-Christian parents who just drop their kids at the door and then leave. It's pretty much Jack's dad, isn't it, on the bottom left-hand corner of the picture. We would say that things like family events are really key for that. So we run a big bonfire and fireworks night that we say is a big, massive invitational process. It's a completely non-fringe, non-confrontational thing that people of all ages are happy to come to. We would do Christmas dinners where the young people might maybe perform a few acts on stage and then serve meals to their parents. Those things are good for getting non-church, non-Christian parents in the building and just breaking the ice. Tamar's a bit more of an expert on this than me.
No, I was just going to say, in our regular clubs, because about 70% are unchurched, we just run a coffee, not even a coffee shop, but just do fresh coffee and cake throughout. And the team are rotated on to just go and chat. And so it is just literally just chatting, but it's getting to know them, building relationships with them. And the great thing is you get a load of church parents there as well, so they're working with you in that. So just fresh cake and coffee is always a, no, fresh coffee and cake. It's always a winner in my book.
Cool. Okay, we'll have to stop there, but thank you very much. Hope it's been helpful.